Welcome to A World of Good Podcast. My name is Andrew Gale. So glad that you've joined us for this episode. I am currently sitting at Juniper Tree, which is a guest house, kind of retreat center in Chiang Mai, Thailand. We are having our RC, our regional coordinator, meetings here in Thailand. And it's been a wonderful experience so far. This morning, we had a really, really great conversation about how we interact with one another. What does it look like to serve and be on a team with one another? And so really grateful for this time that we have and for the opportunity just to serve in this way. We're currently doing a series about our regions around the world. So where the Church of God has a connection in different regions. And just so you know, there are 6 regions that are part of the Church of God. You have the United States and Canada. Then just below us, you have Caribbean Atlantic and Latin America. Across the ocean, you have Europe and the Middle East, Asia, and Africa. And those 6 regions make up the way that the Church of God, and specifically global strategy, looks at the world. Out of those 6 regions, we have 4 RCs, regional coordinators, that help coordinate our missionaries and our projects in each of those regions. They are our connectors. They are our cultural bridges. They are the people that we go to understand what's happening on the ground. And so today, we are joined by Don and Carolyn Armstrong, who are the regional coordinators for Asia and the Pacific. And we're actually in your home turf right now, because you guys live and serve. I mean, this is kind of your home base for the work that you do across Asia.
Yeah, that's right. We live in Chiang Mai.
And how long have you guys lived here?
It's been 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 14 years. Hard to believe. It's gone by fast.
Yeah. When people think about Thailand, they probably have a specific picture in mind, but what would you tell us about Chiang Mai as a city? Like, if you were trying to get, you know, create a picture in someone's mind of what Chiang Mai is like, how would you describe it? Yeah.
It's about 1 million people, but it does not look like a big city. We don't have tall, tall buildings, you know, 2- and 3-story buildings at the most. It looks like a very, very big, small town.
And it's a place where people all over the world come to vacation, especially this time of year in January, because of the weather, because of the culture, because of the country. I get a lot of Europeans that come over this time of year. It's a great place to winter.
Yeah. And you winter and summer here, so you get all of the seasons.
We do.
And the winter here is, I mean, we're here in the winter, it's very mild. I mean, people are swimming, but the summers, I assume it is a very different story.
Yeah, this week, for instance, we're in the middle of winter, and we're getting down to the mid-60s at night, and in the afternoons, we're hitting 90.
Wow. Yeah, it's warm.
That's winter.
That's winter, yeah.
Summer is a totally different thing, which we'll have in about 3 months, March and April. Getting up to 110 degrees Fahrenheit during the day is not unusual.
Yeah.
The humidity.
Yeah, the humidity, I'm sure, also, because this feels more tropical, at least in terms of humidity.
Yeah.
Man, that would be a lot. Yeah.
Air conditioning is very helpful.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it is. Well, we're so grateful you guys have joined us to give us a picture of the region that you work in. And you guys, I said this a second ago, but you guys are kind of stationed in Chiang Mai, but you serve all across the Asia Pacific region. So this is really just the place that you, I mean, fly out of, and the place that you come back to retreat from, right? Because, I mean, a lot of your ministry is really outside of Thailand.
In fact, almost probably 99% of it. We do have churches in Thailand.
Yeah.
And we do work with them, but we also, the majority of our churches are outside, of course. Majority of our churches are in India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nepal, Sri Lanka. That's kind of the center of the Church of God in Asia.
So give us a picture geographically from what country to what country is considered part of Asia Pacific region.
We generally tell people that if you know where New Zealand is on a map, yeah, bottom right-hand corner,
yeah,
and you go east all the way to Pakistan.
Yeah.
And then take a triangle up to, say, Seoul, Korea.
Uh-huh.
And then back down to Auckland, New Zealand. Everything in that triangle is Asia Pacific.
Wow.
That's half the world's population.
Yeah.
And it is an immense area as far as square mileage and all the rest.
How many time zones? Because my guess is that's also a really challenging thing. Because you think of Pakistan, India, this far, the way I'm seeing it in my head is Western. I know we're talking about a globe. Then going all the way over to New Zealand, like how many time zones does that cover?
That's 8 time zones.
Wow.
From Auckland to Karachi, 8 time zones.
Wow. So you have people at all different times of the day as you're engaging with
them. Makes for a Zoom call very difficult. Trying to coordinate everybody.
Especially when you have folks in the U.S. that you're also connecting with. It's currently 12 hours ahead of where I am in East Coast time. And so, you know, right now we're having this conversation about 1:30 in the afternoon while my family is sleeping at 1:30 in the morning. It's just such a, I assume that even connecting back to the States, it's pretty complicated.
It gets that way. So we do a lot of late night because that'd be early morning in the States. It works.
You have in this region, not just a large breadth of geography, but also a large breadth of culture and history. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, do you know how many languages are in the, I know that's a question that you probably have no idea.
India alone has a lot.
India alone has 6 official languages.
Wow.
Let alone the hundreds and hundreds of dialects and languages of the tribal groups.
And we have churches probably throughout a number of those language groups.
And that's, that, you know, very true. And then you go into Burma, you go into Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam. They all have multiple languages across the spectrum.
And we do work in a total of 23 countries. So
wow.
It's a lot of
languages. A lot of languages and cultural groups.
Which makes English, sad to say, but English is a common language across all of these countries.
Which would be, even if you weren't here, they would probably come to English as their language to connect in. Is that probably true?
It has been, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So tell us about, you just mentioned, Carolyn, how many churches. You're in 23 different countries, spanning that large geography. Do you know how many churches and believers that accounts for?
I know. Don knows. I know.
About 1,850 congregations. About 230,000 people that worship in those congregations. And like I say, the majority of these are in what we call the subcontinent of Asia, which is, you know, Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Nepal, Sri Lanka. That's probably 90% of the churches.
Wow. So a huge portion of the church comes from that one area.
And it's due to a historical fact, that's where the Church of God came to first, was India.
Which is perfect, because that's my next question. So tell us about the history, whatever you can, about where the church got started.
Well, it's a really interesting and fascinating in the fact that it was a man by the name of A.D. Khan, who had converted to Christianity. He was attending a Baptist church. He got very disillusioned with Christianity because of the way it was being practiced, but he knew there had to be something real here. And actually came across a copy of the
Gospel Trumpet.
Yeah, Gospel Trumpet on a bus.
Oh, wow.
It was, somebody had left it there. And he started reading it, and he said, this is what I've been looking for, especially truths like the authority of Scripture, miracles being real.
Holiness
and unity. And one of the, it must be 5, not 6.
It's 5.
Yeah, it's 5. But those principles that were enshrined in the early Church of God movement, printed in the Gospel Trumpet, he saw those, he read that, and actually wrote to the Gospel Trumpet for a subscription. I think it was like 20 cents.
Yeah.
And they began sending him subscriptions. And after a course of about 2 years, in about 1896, he founded the first Church of God in Asia, which was in Calcutta.
Wow. I think one of the things that is really astounding, and I hope people are tracking with this, is how early the Church of God was a global movement. I mean, again, I've said this in some of the other podcasts, but 1881, depending on who you talk to, is about when the Church of God started in the United States. So we're talking just 15 years after that, it already has a presence in India, started by an Indian man, not by an American missionary going over.
But by the written word that the Gospel Trumpet was and sent around the world. This also happened in Japan, I think, a few years later.
Yeah.
But the church got started there because of the Gospel Trumpet.
Wow.
And people hearing about it, actually traveling back to the States and getting more information at that time. So Japan and India started about the same time indigenously.
Wow.
Which is really unique.
That's really unique.
For a mission movement.
Yeah, that's really unique. And it actually kind of speaks to how we continue to interact with those communities as working with the national leaders rather than coming in as if, as Americans, we're coming in to do that ministry. We work with the leaders that are already there on the ground.
And what's even more interesting is A.D. Khan was actually sitting in Anderson, Indiana when they formed the missionary board of the Church of God.
Wow.
He was at the table. He's the one that helped set it up.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
I think that's helpful to realize, like, the Church of God in in Asia has been around now for, you know, almost 130 years. And I know even just a few years ago, Bangladesh celebrated 100 years. I think sometimes in our mind, we may think that the global church is a recent movement, but the Church of God has had a presence in these communities for a long, long time.
For a very long time. And Bangladesh has celebrated 100 years. We're coming up on that in, well, Japan celebrated that not too long ago. And of course, India has. And then we have a number of countries like Southeast Asia that were Church of God congregations were set up and evangelized in Southeast Asia during the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Yeah.
So those aren't quite as old, but they're getting on 30, 40, 50 years as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we think about Asia Pacific region, one of the things that's unique is that every region is set up differently in terms of its structure. For better or for worse, this is the Church of God, right? Our structures are very nebulous, but that means that we still have to work within a structure, even if it's nebulous. And so tell us a little bit about the Asia Pacific Conference and the way that the Asia Pacific is structured in terms of its churches and the work that happens there.
In the early 1980s, a Japanese pastor, and I can't think of his name, and Sidney Johnson came together and saw the need for a leadership conference that the leaders in Asia and Pacific region could all come together every 2 years, share ideas, papers, thoughts, plan, strategy, all the rest. And so the Japanese at that time, the Japanese church, said, we will fund this. Mm. We have a difficult time sending missionaries out or something like that. So they thought they, because of their wealth, would be able to fund the travel for the other countries to come. And that worked for a number of years up until we came in the early 2000s or 2010. We decided that we needed to open this up to more than just the leaders. We needed to open it up to congregants. And so we began to invite people in the individual churches to come to the conference and treat it more like a Church of God convention.
Yeah.
And have speakers and not so much debate on papers and things like this, so that it was more inspirational and a time for people to come together and worship together. And that's what we've done for the last 14 years.
And that bounces from different country to different country, right? So where have a number of the most recent ones happened?
Our last one was in Seoul, Korea. And before that, it was in China.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And before that was here in Thailand.
Wow.
Before that was Hong Kong. And the next one that we're going to have, which is this year, we're going to try to have in Nepal.
Wow. So it's neat that, you know, it may not be close every time for people to be able to get there, but because it bounces around the region, it gives opportunity for people to potentially make one that's more in their neighborhood.
Right. And like I said, we do try to bring in a speaker of a name. Jim Lyon has been 3 out of 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
But we also brought Ann Smith in.
Yeah.
People really enjoy coming together if they can make it.
Yeah.
Travel expensive. Visas are hard to get sometimes.
Yeah.
One reason we're going to have it in Nepal is that they do visa on arrivals for almost all Asian countries.
Wow.
So we don't have to get into this getting a visa approval before they come.
Yeah. Which is a real, you know, our American passport allows us to go to places fairly easily. We don't realize how complicated that becomes for people in other countries.
I know that for our pastors in Pakistan, their passports are acceptable in about 14 countries.
Wow, 14. And I think when people talk, like when you think about UN countries, we're in just over 200, right? 200 and something. So I mean, 14 out of that 200, that's such a small, small number.
Yeah, I think the strongest passport is either Singapore or Germany or something, UK. And like, they can do like 187 countries.
Wow. So yeah, 14, that's such
like 182 for the US. Yeah.
So we have to be really careful where we hold these conferences. Otherwise, we're excluding right off the bat a certain segment of our people.
I know that's been one of the challenges even in the United States. We've wanted to have more global people come and be a part of those meetings, but twice now, we've worked to get Pakistani pastors there on the ground, and they have not been granted visas. And so we end up really struggling to do that. So having these kind of regional events that allow for them to still be connected, I think is so, so important. I mean, and it even raises the level of that importance, because they may not be able to do that in other places because of passport issues.
And so when we have it in the region and we have it in a place where they can all come, it just brings more unity within the region.
Absolutely.
On a regional basis, because each country has its own General Assembly, except India, they have seven.
Yeah.
Bangladesh has two, and looks like Philippines will have two. And so there's some division going on across there. And when we have something like the Asia-Pacific Conference, there's a chance for them to see the broader picture, that the Church of God is not just what they see in their hometown, but all across Asia. And then when you bring a speaker from like the States, mm-hmm. or from some other region, they get an idea that the Church of God is global.
Yeah.
And we all worship maybe different styles.
Yeah.
But God is God.
Yeah.
And we have some very commonalities that we are able to celebrate.
Recently, I was able to join an Asia Pacific conference. I wasn't at the actual, I was in Seoul for the conference, but you've done some kind of in-between conference Zoom calls with people. And that has been really, really powerful. I know I was on one where, you know, there were people that, because of economic difficulties, would never be able to go to a fly to a conference. But there they were sitting on Zoom as a part of this meeting, getting to hear speakers. How has Zoom allowed you to connect in ways that you hadn't before?
Yeah, we've gotten really proficient with Zoom during COVID. And so have a lot of our people. But one thing we discovered about Zoom is that they have channels. I think it's up to 12. So what we did was we put like a Japanese speaker on one channel and a Myanmar Burmese speaker on another channel.
So it's like audio channels. So you can watch the same video but get different audio. Is that what you?
Yeah. So what you're hearing then is whatever channel you put yourself onto, you're hearing at 80%, and then you're hearing what's really being spoken by the speaker at 20%.
Oh wow!
So it's fabulous. And so we were able to have these different language groups on the different channels. And I think Jim Lyon was our speaker at that point. And it was all translated by the people we put on the channels live, you know.
Yeah.
And it worked great.
Yeah. And we did that twice, December of 21 and then May of 22. Yeah. The second one was Dr. Lateef.
Who's a pastor from Egypt, for those who don't know.
Yeah. Pastor and national leader for Egypt. I thought it'd be fascinating for them to hear something other than American.
Yeah.
And it's a success story as well.
Yeah.
How he has brought the church in Egypt to a point where they are dynamic and growing and
Absolutely.
Expanding. He was a little hard with his Egyptian accent. Should have put a chip in
for translators. Channel. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
But they really appreciated hearing from Dr. Lateef, hearing his personal testimony. And how the church is doing.
Yeah.
And again, that gives them an idea that it's not just Asia and the United States, but it's Asia, it's Europe, it's Africa.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of work.
Now, one of the things I think is really neat about the region is that you mentioned this a little bit with Japan being willing to give financial resources to make the Asia Pacific Conference start. But that continues today, not in that way, but the generosity of one country to another within the region continues. Are there any stories related to that you can share of what that's looked like in recent years?
Well, I could do Japan again, but I'll do Korea. Those are our two wealthy countries.
Yeah.
Korea has actually built several buildings, churches throughout the Asia Pacific region.
Wow.
Over the last 10 years. And that's how they have wanted to engage with the rest of the Asia Pacific, is to build church buildings.
Yeah.
And they've done that, especially in India, Philippines, here in Thailand. And so we have worked with them on that. They have also helped us. They've provided expense money for us to help in emergency needs.
Wow.
And so we've used it that way as well. Japan just recently took up an offering to help a missionary couple that were going to go to Pakistan. They contributed to their upfront costs with this offering. And so they're very mindful of missionary involvement.
I wanted to say, too, that we had a very old, very large church in India burn down about 3 years ago. And we had a great response across our region. Our churches in other countries wanted to send a little something to help on the rebuild. And that was really fun to watch our region come together and sympathize and try to help.
Yeah, it's neat to see, I mean, without something like the Asia Pacific Conference to bring people together, whether that kind of unity would happen is a question mark, right? I mean, I think part of the reason people have an impetus to be a part of those things is because they know those pastors, or they've seen those pastors, or they know that there are other people. And so then they have more of a desire to be a part of that and be unified. So I think it's funny to think that, it's been 40, 50 years since that started, but seeing the benefit of that and the generosity across the region is really neat.
Yeah, and those leaders that started, back in the 80s, they're pretty much all passed on.
Yeah.
And so a new generation has picked this up, and they see the value in it as well.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Currently, we have a Korean by the name of Pastor Moon, fantastic pastor. But his desire is to see the next generation trained in this and bring them up.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So last question, how can we be praying for you, for the region, and just continuing to lift you guys up and the work that's happening here?
Okay. For Don and I personally, I would say, and this is going to sound a little strange, but this is serious, for safety on the roads here, traffic in Chiang Mai is pretty horrendous.
Yeah.
The way people drive and there just aren't any rules being followed at any given time. I consider it miraculous that we've been here for 14 years and have not hit anybody yet. Mm. And I attribute that to prayer, people that are praying for
Absolutely.
Us. So just safety on the roads.
Yeah.
Here in Chiang Mai.
I've experienced that traffic, and it's something else. And you're driving on the other side, the opposite side of what you're used to, and sitting in the opposite side of the lot.
For the church, any leader will eventually hit the wall, hit a rough patch. And we have a number of leaders who just really need a fresh vision for their work.
Mm.
We also have leaders who are mired, like in Myanmar, in ethnic conflict that's going on. And they have no ability to influence it because you got a government against rebels. And then you've got some really well-driven individuals like Toppin Borman, who just rediscovered a ministry with the largest brothel in Asia.
Wow, yeah.
Bangladesh. And he's reaching out to the kids that are that have no say in where they came out.
Yeah.
And so he's reaching out to the kids and to the mothers of those kids, as well as pregnant women, and trying to alleviate the problems that they've been born into or that they found themselves into. And he's got a huge, huge new lease on ministry.
Yeah.
And not that he's forsaken the rest of it. He's expanding his kingdom.
God keeps calling people into new ventures and new passions to support people in different ways.
And we could, some of our leaders could use the same type of infusion. Yeah. We all probably do at one point in time.
That's right. Well, Don and Carolyn, thank you so much for taking some time to share with us. We really appreciate this, and we will definitely be lifting you guys up in prayer. And thanks for your service to the work of the Church of God in Asia Pacific.
Always a blessing to talk with you.
Thanks. Thanks for listening to A World of Good. A World of Good is a podcast production of Global Strategy and Church of God Ministries. Our theme song is Colorado by Leo Flores. If you want to join the conversation, visit us at Twitter at A World of Good Pod. On Instagram, A World of Good Podcast, or visit our website, chogglobal.org/A World of Good. And join us next time as we share more stories of good from around the world.